from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins.
Oh!
An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for It Must Be a Tuesday, baby. Let's go. Let's get it. We are here for you. Patrick Harris with you. Joe Fisher to my left. Schultzy behind the glass on the ones and twos, as he always is on a Tuesday. We're happy to have you. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for joining us. Had a nice conversation with old Ryan Buckley in the office about the old snip, 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 snap, ooh, snip, snap.
Oh, yeah. I heard that's happening for him. That it's the bag of peas coming up and all that.
Yeah, you know, I'm always a little fascinated. Like, I don't really know anything about science. I don't read things on the internet and then pretend to know a lot of things about science, like a lot of people in this great, wonderful country of ours do. So I was asking him questions. We got to pee at the same time. We both had to use the facility.
I was going
to
say, there's only one urinal, so crossing streams, playing swords, ooh, or whatever. Yeah.
You know, on? I would cross streams with Buck.
Okay.
I would. I would. I think he's a solid human being. I think he's got his priorities in the right place.
As long as there's no spray back on the legs, sure.
I think he's a hard worker. I have worked prime time as...
You're a hard worker. I'd cross streams with you any day.
I know the level of his job. I've done it. I'm also good friends with Voldemort, who did it for a while, I understand, and... His kids seem wonderful. His wife seems wonderful. I would cross streams.
These are all reasons why you would cross streams.
Yeah, I'd cross streams with Ryan Buckley. I would.
I would.
You, Joe, if I had a few beers, Joe, I'd cross streams with you. But sober,
thank you.
I don't think
weird.
So.
I appreciate it.
Kind of want to cross streams with some random guy in the bathroom and then see what the reaction is.
Hey, we all did it when we were kids.
We
right?
did. We did. No, we totally
we all
did.
Had that. We had those one big or two
old,
friends.
Well, there, you had those big old like bucket urinals. So.
There was a time, Joe. You know this because your son, Medium Joe, is in soccer.
Yes.
And Joe is what? 12?
11.
11. Okay, so I have Oliver. He is 7. So it's a big gap.
He's 7?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I just asked this like 2 weeks ago when I saw him, but.
So 7 to 12 is quite a big gap when it comes to athletics as kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? It definitely is a difference.
And so.
5 years, I think, is what they say.
And so I'm with him for his soccer practice. And at the end of practice, all the kids, for some reason, run over to this tree just outside the field. We are actually, practice is at his elementary school, so he knows the grounds well. But there's a tree over there, and it wasn't him that started it. He just kind of followed.
Is this the pea tree? Uh-oh.
And no, they're over at the tree, and they're like kicking the tree with their cleats.
Oh.
And one of the other parents looks at me and goes, well, that's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And I said, I'll tell you what, it's a good thing they're not like behind the tree showing each other stuff.
Quit playing with your dinghy.
And that parent looked at me like, good God, what on earth are you talking about? And I was like, what?
Come on.
You're a man. Like, kids, when they're young, do weird stuff like that.
Hi, Vancouver Police. I think there's a strange man.
See,
at,
I would have laughed.
At the soccer practice
yeah, yeah,
field.
Yeah. I was like,
right,
well,
kind of humor.
You know, they were like, wow, what a bunch of idiots kicking a tree. And I was like, well, it's better than showing each other stuff behind the tree.
Confession, trust tree here.
No.
I believe it was fifth grade.
Presented by Usher.
Fifth grade, I got in trouble because out at recess, I went to a tree that was like off away from the playground and went behind it and took a pee during recess.
But just a pee, not to show your friends other things.
No.
It's calling nature.
What the hell? No, I was just simply watering the tree. I felt like, why would this just go in this field? Or why would I run to the bathroom? That tree is not too far away. And I have plenty of... It was a girthy tree, and so I could get behind it. And
made you feel better because you were like, you know, I got some
fully
girth
hidden.
Here.
And then
I got
some
girth
and
here
then
as
some,
well. Me and this tree have a lot in common.
Some douche in my class snitched on me. Couldn't believe it. Fifth grade was not a great year for me. I missed the final field trip. I was not doing some great things.
What's funny is fifth grade for me wasn't too bad because I went to K through six.
Hey, I crushed my times tables. It was just more so some of the behavior stuff, you know, saying some things I shouldn't say as a fifth grader.
Did you
and
go
doing some things like peeing on a tree at recess?
Did you go K through six or did you do K through five,
K
six,
through
seven,
five.
Eight?
K through
I did
five.
K through six
oh,
in
yeah.
Spokane.
Old school.
And after my sixth grade year, I moved to Vancouver. And so I went into middle school as a seventh grader. And I remember I went to Discovery Middle School. Shout out downtown Vancouver.
Shout out to the D.
And downstairs, it was a three-level school. The basement was just, it probably still is, was just sixth graders. And the main floor and the upper floor was like a mix of 7, 8, depending on your teacher, your classes, whatever it was. And I remember walking in now in sixth grade, in K through six, when you're in sixth grade, you're the oldest kid in the school. So it kind of like created this maturity. It kind of created this like,
because yes, you're that's exactly what people think of sixth graders as.
Right.
That's a word they come up with, maturity.
And then I went to seventh grade where the sixth was downstairs and it was like, do not go downstairs.
That's where the feral kids are.
That is, that yeah, that is wild
those
livestock down there.
Those aren't humans down there.
That is wild livestock. And it's terrifying to me because my oldest, she just finished fifth grade and is about to go into middle school as the sixth grader. And it's like, I mean, she's great. She's super smart, has good friend network. I find her just absolutely wonderful. But it's, are you in the basement? Because if you're in the basement, S might get wild real quickly.
You're going to come back a changed girl after that year.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, things are going to happen in that basement. You're going to hear some stuff that you've never heard before. I'm terrified about my son going to middle school. It's I know it's going to be a whole new ball game from when I remember my middle school days. And granted, maybe it wasn't so bad because I was kind of a douche in fourth and fifth grade.
Sure.
So, you know, that jump to middle school wasn't nearly as like abrasive and jarring for me. Joey is a great kid. If you want to compare,
he is a great kid. I've been around him for 10 years. He's a great kid.
You want to compare the calls from the principal K through 5 to mine?
Yeah.
There is a stark difference.
Stark difference, and we're happy about it.
Yes, trust me. And you could probably thank his tiger mom, Filipino mom, for that because she lets him have it. She will take no tomfoolery at all. But I'm nervous. I'm nervous about those eighth graders and what they're going to teach them. Those rat fart kids up there.
Yeah, that's why I'm hoping my sixth grader just has no interaction with eighth graders. She actually called mom today. She's at her dad's and she called mom today. Today was the last day of school for her. And she called mom and said, "Mom, I'm scared about being in middle school."
You should be.
And I just wanted to say, like, yo, gee, like, you're amazing. You're going to be just fine. You're great.
You pulled a Billy Madison. Stay here for as long as you can.
For the love of God, cherish it. Speaking of Billy Madison, I play her Miles Davis all the time because if peeing your pants is cool, well, then I'm Miles Davis.
God. I just got a text from a dad also in Newburgh, and he says terrified of CV as well. That's the middle school, Shehalem Valley.
Yeah.
Because his boy is in the same grade.
You remember that intimidating feeling, when you move from like the old school to the new school. It just seems so much bigger. Like, it's so tiny. Now when you go back and look at it, you're like, ah, it's a tiny place.
But yeah, and I moved old school to the nude school, but moved towns.
Oh, that's
moved
even worse.
Moved across the state.
No friends to start then either.
Yeah, I did. I moved in the middle of my eighth grade year, middle school, went from Tualatin to Sherwood. That was tough. Yeah. I feel like that's a tough age. I mean, my sister, she moved. She was a sophomore in high school, so that must have been tough as well. My sister was a senior in high school, didn't have to move schools. The parents just let her finish out, which I understand. But she got it easy. She just got to finish off high school in Tualatin. But we got moved in the middle of eighth grade, sophomore year. Tough. It was tough. What the Sherwood kids? They were much different than Tualatin.
A little more wild.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, and I didn't think it was going to be anything. And then I moved, and it was something.
Yeah, I got really lucky. When I first went into that school, I made friends real quickly and became friends with them, with a lot of people that I am friends with still to this day. And I'll never forget one of my favorite stories of all time. And I will say her name because I highly doubt she's listening to the show. But Jenny Spicer. Shout out to Jenny Spicer.
Oh, she's awesome. I love Jenny.
I had seventh and eighth grade with her and all of high school with her. And I remember senior year of high school, she was like, "Man, Patrick, I can't believe we've done this since sixth grade." And I was like, "Jenny, I wasn't in sixth grade with you. I moved from Spokane." She was like, "No, I have a very specific memory of you and me in choir in sixth grade." And I had to just be like, "Jenny, like, I don't know what to tell you, girl. Like, I wasn't there. And she was like, "No, you're wrong." And that's one of my favorite things in the entire world is when people tell me things about me that I am wrong and they are right.
Well, I think I've said this too. Like, Chappelle has a bit about it where when people are like, "Oh, no, you said that." It's like, "Dude, I did not say that." And it's like, "I think you said that." It's like, "I know I didn't effing say that. If you say that I said that one more time, I'm going to kill you and
this
just freak out."
I'm not on Twitter. This is why I don't do anything. Hey,
I will say one last thing about that Tualatin to Sherwood move. I remember the Tualatin, Tualatin dances at Hazelbrook Middle School. It was a lot of straight arm, hands on the hips, hands on the shoulder, sway back and forth.
Leave room for Jesus.
Yeah, don't even get any closer than that.
There was no Jesus at Discovery Middle School.
Oh, I went to Sherwood Middle School. The dances were much different. Much different.
Much different.
There was a...
Getting down.
Yeah, there was no chaperone in sight. The lights were real dark. It was like a rave in there. Pure chaos.
Oakley Dougley. Well, we got a baseball show for you tonight. We'll dive into some strike zone situations, Olympics versus the World Baseball Classic. my favorite player in baseball going down, and did another one go down today? We got a lot to get to, a lot to get to tonight. Plus, fair or foul at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour.
And Ohtani just apparently hit a 476 foot bomb in Colorado.
And that's fake news.
There's that high elevation for you.
But when we come back, why would he do that? Why would he do that? That's next. The Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
719 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge that is still in gridlock right now.
Yeah, another reason why you should not live in Vancouver, North Portland, north of the river at all.
Yo,
there's propane tank fires happening on the side of the road. Dear God.
I work on Tuesdays. Tuesday is my Friday.
Move the wine country like me.
Tuesday is my Friday, and I usually swing up to a little beer bar on Mississippi and have a couple cold ones, and usually watch baseball and BS with the bartender before I come down here. And that's a 7-minute drive from work. Today it was an hour.
What?
And I...
Nice.
And I went east to avoid stuff. I went east to avoid stuff and then north. And I think I got there in good time for an hour.
Is the road still on fire?
No, no. I-5 North is open now, but I passed it on my way here and it looks like 5 o'clock.
I mean,
let's take a look.
Explosion is like the cap to the last 3 weeks of just terrible traffic. I don't want to get too far off here, but it has been some of the worst commute times I can ever remember. I am just wanting to throw both my middles at everybody driving right now.
Yeah, and you just have to remember the infrastructure of this town was just not built for this many people, and
right.
There's no solution. So get
They're
used
idiots.
To it. Try and figure it out. Know your routes and know your things, and I hope everybody out there, if you're stuck in traffic, if this is the first time you're hearing the Hot Corner, thank you so much for joining us. We do this every single Tuesday. We love baseball, and when you are people that love baseball, there have been many years previously that I have done a fun segment in the off season called Storytime with Uncle Patrick, where we talk about cool things that have happened in baseball.
You did the story time before Joey Harrington did his story time.
That's true.
I feel like there's some sort
Joey.
Of copyright infringement happening.
Go Cougs. This is why I don't like the Ducks, they always ride.
All right,
steal things from everybody else.
That's not necessary. That's all right. You can stop now.
10 in the Fan, home of the
Ducks. I try to give you a pat on the back here, and then you go and throw it right back in my face.
Boy, I can't wait for your guys' home game.
Besmirching my Ducks.
I can't wait for your home games at 9 a.m. and everybody lose their S. But the coolest thing about being diehard baseball fans is that baseball is the one sport above all that I truly believe reveres its history more so than anybody else. I'm currently watching the Euros. I will watch Copa America. Oh. The Stanley Cup is on right now. The TV's in our room. The NBA Finals ended the other day. We're in, like, NFL's bigger than it's ever been in its entire life. But nothing understands history better than baseball. And on this day at age 93, we lose the great Willie Mays. Now, there is a fun baseball thing a la Field of Dreams going on in Alabama in a few days to celebrate Negro League, as their stats have now been conjoined with Major League Baseball. This is a great time to celebrate how important and how amazing the Negro Leagues were. And the question was, will Willie make an appearance? And Willie said he would not be able to make an appearance. And I kind of was like, interesting. I can't imagine he's got more going on, but he is 93. I wonder how things are going. And the news came across the headlines, what, maybe an hour ago, that Willie Mays at 93 has passed away.
The Say Hey Kid. Amazing life. I mean, at that age, I think everybody says we get to the point that you got to celebrate it more so mourn. I mean, you make it 93 years. You've lived a good life. And yeah, I mean, we lost some legends in the sports world recently, but losing Willie Mays, one of the most iconic players of all time. Obviously, it's sucks to see, but again, 93 years young, that's a hell of a life.
So I'd like to use the next couple minutes to just kind of chat a little bit about Willie Mays. You're looking at a 301 career batting average. That's 23 years in Major League Baseball.
Man,
you know me, dude. My limit's 301, 300. So Willie makes the cut.
I have to remember, is it 300 great hitter? Is that the demarcation for you?
300 is a great hitter.
Okay, and then it was 270 is a good hitter?
Is an okay hitter. There's no good. You're okay or great.
There's no in between.
No.
I feel like okay
It's math, dude. It's math.
I feel like okay is very much like, yeah, I'll give it to you. Like, if you're a good hitter, like, I feel like an okay hitter is like 250. A good hitter is 270. A great hitter is 300.
I would probably say...
I feel like that is the Joe Fisher line.
Okay. You're right. I was being a little sticky there.
The Fish-Oza line.
An okay hitter is 270.
I think that's a
good hitter is 285.
Okay, so you're... Okay.
A great hitter is 300. I think that gap right in there is tighter for me than anybody else. Like, if I look at Albert Pujols' numbers right now, and I don't know what they are, but if his career batting average is 298 and not 300, that might be an exception to the rule, because he was a great hitter.
All right, we're digressing. Willie Mays, great hitter.
301 career batting average, a 557 career slugging. I think 660 home runs. I think one of the most important things about Willie Mays, other than the fact that he is one of the first prominent black players in baseball to be recognized in his greatness, is he tags along, not tags along, but he is at the forefront of the move west. He's a New York Giant. There is a time in New York City where your center fielders are Mickey Mantle for the Yankees, Duke Snider for the Dodgers, and Mays for the Giants. And that is absolutely insane. Dodgers moved to LA. Giants aren't far behind them, to San Francisco. And that's really where Willie Mays becomes the greatness that he is. He is a wonderful human being, to all accounts that say it. And I think the most fun thing to talk about with Willie Mays is in 1999, when they had the all-century team at Fenway, there was only two center fielders. It was Willie Mays and Ken Griffey Jr. So if you sit here and you love Griffey, like most of us do in our age, there's a lot of people that say Willie's better.
I would probably agree. I mean, it's not like I was
watching a bunch of Willie Mays as a young kid. It was more so growing up to learn about him and seeing...
Well, I talked to Swag the other day, and he watched them. He watched him as a young kid.
Yeah, watched him as a 20-year-old. I'm sure he enjoyed that in his college days.
Hold on, everybody!
But I just remember growing up hearing the name Willie Mays, seeing the numbers, and then if you're a diehard baseball fan, seeing the 1954 World Series catch on loop at any opportunity, that is one of the most iconic plays in sports history, to where that type of catch, anytime in baseball when it's done, an over-the-shoulder grab deep in outfield, deep center, and you're making a catch like that, leaving your feet, or even just an over-the-shoulder grab like that, it's a Willie Mays catch. That is what it's been known as for ever since then.
And the funny thing about the catch in the World Series is we all know the video of the catch, but when you're in the game, the actual game, it's the fact that he threw it back into the infield and prevented a run from tagging up and scoring.
Yeah, the throw is just as impressive. He bombed that
thing. The catch is the highlight, but the throw is what saved the game. He is a 21-time All-Star. He won two MVPs.
I think that's second most all-time for All-Star appearances.
Yeah, probably.
Well, only to Hank Aaron, I believe, with 25.
Okay.
I think Stan Musial's up there as well, from what I was looking at earlier.
You're talking about Hammer and Hank and Stan the Man against the Say Hey Kid. Like, geez, these nicknames are phenomenal.
Well, and just the longevity.
Can I get a nickname like that?
What,
Patrick the Hat Trick?
Ooh, that's a hockey. That's a very white guy hockey.
Soccer. As well.
I'm sorry. We're in North America, I think, hockey.
1951, he is the Rookie of the Year for the New York Giants. Two MVPs, 1954 and 1964. That's fun to win an MVP 10 years apart. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 gold gloves.
12, actually.
Oh, it's 12?
12, yeah.
Well, I can't
57
count.
57 to 68.
I can't count.
Just don't want to sell the Say Hey Kid short, man.
It's Willie Mays.
I have a Willie Mays memory moment. I was in San Francisco when I was 18, 19, something like that. Me and my friends went down there for a concert, just a day trip, and we were drunkenly... did I say that I was 18, 19? I mean, we were soberly... walking around San Francisco, and we were outside of the Giants ballpark there. I forget what they call it now, but we were...
Oracle, I believe it's
Oracle. Yeah,
Oracle
Park. That sounds right.
Yes. We were outside Oracle Park, and there was no game going on. There wasn't anything happening, so it was very just dead around the stadium. So we were kind of like looking in the crevices of the stadium to try and get a peek at the field and the stands in the outfield, and there was the Willie Mays statue out there. So all the three of us, we each took our turn posing in front of it, trying to look cool as 19-year-olds in San Francisco do without their families around. And so I have a picture floating around somewhere of me posing next to the Willie Mays statue in San Francisco.
I have a picture of that statue in 2015. I went to a Giants game. The only time I've been to that stadium was 2015. And I went to a Tuesday game against Arizona. And I think Matt Moore was thrown against Zach Greinke, against the Diamondbacks. And I went to the statue and I stood there and was like, wow, that's a cool statue. And then all of a sudden it hit. I was like, wow. Willie Mays. Wow. Just incredible.
Well, that's kind of what it was for us, too. It was just like, dude, this is the Willie Mays statue. Like, mm-hmm. we got to get a picture in mm-hmm. front of this. Like, it mm-hmm. was like no hesitation.
So rest in peace to Willie Mays, one of the greatest. I mean, is Willie Mays a Mount Rushmore guy?
Has
to be.
Yeah, just because of A, the longevity of his career, and B, I think he was one of the... Because Jackie Robinson just didn't have quite as long of a career as he
right,
did.
Right.
The breaking color barriers, and as you said, the move to the West, you know, of baseball, I feel like he's responsible for a lot of, like, the current day celebration for what baseball is.
I think the old school guys, the Mount Rushmore is what? Babe, Garrett, Mays and Aaron.
Hank Aaron.
That's probably the old school. That's probably the four.
One quick stupid little thought just to kind of round this conversation out. I had no idea until Willie Mays passed away about this. Two All-Star games were held each season in MLB from 1959 through 1962. So if you're wondering, that is how Willie Mays played only 22 seasons in MLB but had 24 All-Star game appearances. That one was kind of wacky to me.
So rest in peace, Willie Mays. If you don't know Willie, just look at some highlights, and just an amazing ambassador of the game and always a smile. And you got to love guys that, yeah, he had a little time in the Mets, but he'll always be a Giant. That's a storied franchise, and baseball loses one of the good ones. All right, when we come back, let's talk about modern day stuff. All right, getting hit in the hand is not cool, especially if you're trying to win a World Series. We'll do that next. The Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. But first, Schultzy with sports. Vancouver 4 text line, 503-864-6326. All texts to The Fan are via the Vancouver 4 text line. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. I got my 2022 Ford Bronco Sport in the parking lot, and I can't tell you enough that Monty and the crew over there have taken care of me. If you live in Oregon, there's no sales tax. Cruise on over. They got a great selection. I can't tell you enough. Vancouver Ford is way to go. And I want to give a shout-out to this texter who did not tag their name, which is totally fine. But they finished year 20 today of teaching at the middle school that I went to at Discovery.
Well, congratulations to that texter. I mean, 20 years teaching.
20 years teaching at middle school. And I would argue that teaching at middle school is really challenging, because I think my wife is a teacher and I have been a teacher and I have friends that are teachers. I taught collegiately. My wife taught elementary, now teaches preschool, and I have some friends that teach high school. Middle school, Joe, we were talking about us in middle school. That's just such a weird transition. You physically are transitioning weirdly. Your brains are transitioning weirdly.
I feel like some kids are mature and then some aren't. Like, yeah, some still, yeah, like, are being babied at home and don't know how to handle situations. Some are not being taken care of at home and don't know how to handle situations. It's a mixed bag at middle school.
So shout out to you, my friend, for finishing 20 years at Discovery. I hope your kids acknowledge that, and I hope you as a person acknowledge that, and thank you for helping build our youth.
Enjoy the hell out of your summer.
Yeah, no kidding.
A couple of 20-year drinks, yeah. Some strong ones.
Go to Baja and just get loaded, my friend.
And don't come back.
Yeah, yeah. Just leave. All right, let's get into this. The biggest news of the week, and it was so funny. It's so funny when you prep for these kind of shows. It's kind of like we're not quite the dog days. But we're mid-June, so it's kind of like, you know, hey, you know, do you want to do a good show? What are we going to talk about? And this, I think, is in contention for maybe the number one story of the year. Mookie Betts gets hit by a 90-plus mile-an-hour fastball.
98.
98 on the wrist. There is a fracture there. He is out for 6 to 8 weeks. Now, fortunately, if you're a Dodger fan, you're probably like, okay, hold up. We're going to be all right. Shohei's numbers are amazing. Yeah. Freddie's doing really great stuff. You got Will behind it.
They're hitting back-to-back jacks every other night, it seems like.
Yeah, and we've talked about the drop-off in position 5 through 9, but Teoscar's been pretty good with the protection that he has. I don't know if Teoscar is as great as his numbers say, but when you're in a lineup like that and you have those opportunities, he has come forth on that. But what I would
argue, 20 home runs in a Mariners lineup. But, I don't know.
But what I would argue is Shohei is the better player than Mookie on paper. Okay, Freddie Freeman is maybe the better player on paper than Mookie. But Mookie Betts, I've sat on this show and I think Mookie Betts is the most valuable player, not the award. But if I want to build a team, Mookie Betts is one of the most valuable players in Major League Baseball based on the positions he can play. He can hit for power, doesn't do it a lot, but he can. But he hits, he walks, he's smart on the base paths. the Dodgers will be fine, but 6 to 8 weeks without Mookie Betts, I'm fascinated to watch what this offense looks like.
Well, I know that they also said that they were going to look for a shortstop at the trade deadline.
Rumors are Bo Bichette.
So, which part of me is like,
yeah. He's having a bad year.
He is. And part of me says, good luck with that. But also, it's the Dodgers, so they might just not give an F and burn money like they've been doing. But I am intrigued to see if they make any major moves at the trade deadline or just try to stand pat until he comes back. Because you're right, 6 to 8 weeks isn't a long time. You hope that there isn't any sort of setback. I mean, it's a broken hand. Just let it heal. Yep. You know, it doesn't. I haven't seen if he needs surgery at all. I don't know if you've seen any reports of that.
I haven't
at
seen
all,
any
but
surgery. It sounds like this is just going to be a recovery. It's a fracture.
Initially, Robertson, no surgery needed, just the recovery time.
So it's almost like well, it's not exactly like that because one player is better than the other, but Philly's losing Real Muto recently. It's yep. like he's going to be gone for a couple of months, but don't overreact. You still have a loaded team. You're going to be fine. And that, just like the Phillies, the Dodgers are going to be there in October. So if you have all your horses and have everyone healthy by then, which you're hoping is the case on not just at the bat, but at the bump also, you got Yoshi going down with a rotator mm-hmm. cuff injury. Helps you get Bobby Miller back, obviously. But
and we'll talk about that in 15 minutes.
That's if you're the Dodgers, you're just like, does this suck losing one of the best players, if not the best player in baseball? Yes. Can we manage? Yes. Should we panic? No. I mean, they're not going to lose their division, right? There's no one close to them.
Right.
I mean, at that point, you're playing for a number two seed, but do you think the Brewers are going to creep up and take that from you? So at that point,
you got to watch the Phillies from afar.
Right, but again, if the Phillies get the one and the Dodgers, like at this point, just play.
If you get the two, you're not worried about
it. Yeah, just play for a first round bye at this point. So sucks immensely as a baseball fan. If you're a Dodgers fan, it sucks obviously, but take a deep breath. Cruz Fraba. It's going to be okay.
I think the most fascinating thing, and then Jordan's got something, so I'll let you go. I think the most fascinating thing about this is not necessarily that it's Mookie, because I think you're right, Joe. I think if you're a Dodger fan, I think you stand pat. You're just like, okay, let's weather the storm. We're going to be okay. We've got guys. We've got prospects. The thing I'm the most fascinated about is I think if Mookie doesn't go down, I still think the Dodgers trade for a shortstop. Like, Mookie's move to shortstop out of necessity, not out of strength. And so when you lose the one guy you were able to do that, because if you move Gavin Lux over to shortstop, his hitting is atrocious and he's got the yips. So it's like, I think they were already in the market for a shortstop, maybe not somebody to the level of Bo Bichette, but somebody to the level who, and let's be real, Bo Bichette's having a bad season. He's having a bad season, and he's going to cost you a ton if you want to go get him. But the fact that Mookie filled a position that you had no answers for, and now that position you had has no answers for, not to mention put on top of that, your probably most efficient hitter, question mark, because Mookie does the dirty work. He runs the bases really well. He hits for average. His on-base percentage is great. He's not Shohei. He's not Freddie because he doesn't go as deep as much as them, but he does the dirty work for them and did it at a position that you needed. I think it's more fascinating what the Dodgers do with shortstop than just hanging pat for Mookie Betts.
Well, it's funny because it's kind of the Dodgers, it's like the opposite problem that the San Diego Padres have had, right? They've signed, what, five?
They got four shortstops.
Four or five shortstops total on their roster, and the Dodgers have like
zero.
What, six outfielders and zero shortstops. They've got way too many guys, and then the call-up of Andy Pages has been just an absolute success. I think he's still under 10 homers, but he's hit 8 or 9 for me. Just every time I see them, he's actually hitting.
So, and he has good nights but bad nights, but that's what you expect.
Well, he's a rookie, but his numbers make him already look like a veteran player. player just immediately coming into the league. You know he's going to be okay, though. So I feel like if Pajes, if Rojas can hold down, you know, some of those at-bats, I understand Muncy. I don't know how long he's down, but hopefully if he comes back soon, they're really... in my opinion, isn't that much of a gap. And if I am Dodger fan, I'm more pissed at the fact that it was probably somebody that shouldn't have been throwing inside in the first place that hit Mookie Betts. You know, it's like it is what it is. Dan Altavilla, I'm a little biased. I've stood in an elevator with him. He's a D-bag.
I love this.
I love the conspiracy theory that he ruined Mookie Betts on purpose.
No, I'm not saying he ruined him on purpose. I'm saying he had just been called up from AAA and literally does not have the skill after, what, a two-year recovery from Tommy John surgery to actually throw that hard
I just love the short interaction in an elevator leads me to believe that this guy sucks.
Do you want me? Okay.
And I'm shocked that after a Tommy John, you had 98 mile an hour on the gun.
Not in control, though, that's for sure.
Okay, it was right after Felipe Rivera, who now has been arrested and I believe convicted of allegedly messaging underage girls and trying to set up meetings with them.
Whoa!
Felipe Rivera for the Pirates back in the day, like, what, 5-6 years ago? Big name closer.
I don't pay attention.
He signed like an $80 million contract. Well, it was that day, and Dan Altavilla was at our old work building doing some kind of visit for the Mariners, and he was coming down the elevator, and he's like, "Did you just see Rivera sign that contract?" And it's like, oh, Altavilla thinks he can get some big guy money, and yeah, sorry, buddy, that's not happening.
Yeah, so I just want to see, you know, I mean, is there a, you know, there are so many great defensive shortstops in baseball that don't hit very well. So I wonder if the Dodgers go that route or if they just look within and call up somebody and deal with that. We'll get out of because we're way up against it.
Whoa.
We'll get out real quick and try to be quick with it. Do the Dodgers, is this a big problem with Mookie gone for 6-8, or do you think they'll be just fine?
I say this is just, like, it's just scary for the Dodgers because it seems like you can't be 100% healthy. So you're fine from now because it's literally mid-June, but I'm just nervous that they will have
pressure.
Yes, and they'll just have something stupid happen in September, October where one of their main guys goes down. Because it seems like they just can't have a fully healthy roster ever.
I'm not as concerned. I think they've just got too many bats. I think they'll be all right.
Yeah, I love 1-4. I hate 5-9. We'll see how this plays out, and we'll look at it over the next couple weeks. But, you know, the Dodgers, they do have some help coming back tomorrow. And is that the side that needs more help than shortstop right now? And how does that compare? Because the Yankees are in the same position. When you're looking at top teams, I know one is better than the other. But what's going to benefit each team better? We'll do that next. The Hot Corner, 10 in the Fan. Coming up in the second hour, we will get into Fair or Foul, everybody's favorite. Plus, is minor league baseball a must-watch tonight? Must-watch now to see what we are going to see in Major League Baseball? There's a big, big thing going on. We'll get to that at the top of the 8 o'clock hour.
I know what you're talking about, and what they said that the league they're going to do this in did catch me off guard. Like, where they're going to have this rule change. I was like, whoa, that's okay.
Yeah, a lot of signs pointing to this is the future. So should we start watching minor league baseball to get us ready for the future of Major League Baseball? We'll do that. Loaded second hour. Loaded. Absolutely loaded. Plus, Mr. Met might be on the unemployment line. We'll get to that as well. But I wanted to get into this. We're talking about the Dodgers, and we'll be real quick about this. We're talking about the Dodgers losing Mookie Betts. Bobby Miller comes off the injured list. He's going to start tomorrow against the Reds or against the Rockies. And he is the...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid.
The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha! Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Vancouver 4 text line 503-864-6326. All texts to the fan or via the Vancouver 4 text line. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. I got my 2022 Ford Bronco Sport in the parking lot, and I can't tell you enough that Monty and the crew over there have taken care of me. If you live in Oregon, there's no sales tax. Cruise on over. They got a great selection. I can't tell you enough. Vancouver Ford is way to go. And I want to give a shout out to this texter who did not tag their name, which is totally fine. But they finished year 20 today of teaching at the middle school that I went to at Discovery.
Well, congratulations to that texter. I mean, 20 years teaching.
20 years at the teaching same school. At middle school. And I would argue that teaching at middle school is really challenging, because I think my wife is a teacher and I have been a teacher and I have friends that are teachers. I taught collegiately. My wife taught elementary, now teaches preschool, and I have some friends that teach high school. Middle school, Joe, we were talking about us in middle school. That's just such a weird transition. You physically are transitioning weirdly. Your brains are transitioning weirdly.
I feel like some kids are mature and then some aren't. Like are being babied at home and don't know how to handle situations. Some are not being taken care of at home and don't know how to handle situations. It's a mixed bag.
Yeah. So shout out to you, my friend, for finishing 20 years at Discovery. I hope your kids acknowledge that. And I hope you as a person acknowledge that. And thank you for helping build our youth.
Enjoy the hell out of your summer.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
A couple of 20-year drinks, yeah. Some strong ones.
Go to Baja and just get loaded, my friend.
And don't come back.
Yeah, yeah. Just leave. All right, let's get into this. The biggest news of the week, and it was so funny. It's so funny when you prep for these kind of shows. It's kind of like we're not quite the dog days. But we're mid-June, so it's kind of like, you know, hey, you know, want to do a good show. What are we going to talk about? And this, I think, is in contention for maybe the number one story of the year. Mookie Betts gets hit by a 90-plus mile-an-hour fastball.
98
on the wrist. There is a fracture there. He is out for 6 to 8 weeks. Now, fortunately, if you're a Dodger fan, you're probably like, okay, hold up. We're going to be all right. Shohei's numbers are amazing. Yeah. Freddie's doing really great stuff. You got Will behind it.
They're hitting back-to-back jacks every other night, it seems like.
Yeah, and we've talked about the drop-off in position 5 through 9, but Teoscar's been pretty good with the protection that he has. I don't know if Teoscar is as great as his numbers say, But when you're in a lineup like that and you have those opportunities, he has come forth on that. But what I would
argue, 20 home runs in a Mariners lineup. But
what I would argue is Shohei is the better player than Mookie on paper. Okay. Freddie Freeman is maybe the better player on paper than Mookie. But Mookie Betts, I've sat on this show and I think Mookie Betts is the most valuable player, not the award. But if I want to build a team, Mookie Betts is one of the most valuable players in Major League Baseball based on the positions he can play. He can hit for power. Doesn't do it a lot, but he can. But he hits, he walks, he's smart on the base paths. The Dodgers will be fine, but 6 to 8 weeks without Mookie Betts, I'm fascinated to watch what this offense looks like.
Well, I know that they also said that they were going to look for a shortstop at the trade deadline.
Rumors are Bo Bichette.
So, which part of me is like,
he's having a bad year.
He is. And part of me says, good luck with that. But also, it's the Dodgers, so they might just not give an F and burn money like they've been doing. But I am intrigued to see if they make any major moves at the trade deadline or just try to stand pat until he comes back. Because you're right, 6 to 8 weeks isn't a long time. You hope that there isn't any sort of setback. I mean, it's a broken hand. Just let it heal.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't. I haven't seen if he needs surgery at all. I don't know if you've seen any reports of that.
I haven't
at
seen
all,
any
but
surgery. It sounds like this is just going to be a recovery. It's a fracture.
Initially, Robertson, no surgery needed, just the recovery time.
So it's almost like well, it's not exactly like that because one player is better than the other, but Philly's losing Real Muto recently. It's yep. like he's going to be gone for a couple of months, but don't overreact. You still have a loaded team. You're going to be fine. And that, just like the Phillies, the Dodgers are going to be there in October. So if you have all your horses and have everyone healthy by then, which you're hoping is the case on not just at the bat, but at the bump also, you got Yoshi going down with a rotator mm-hmm. cuff injury. Helps you get Bobby Miller back, obviously, but.
And we'll talk about that in 15 minutes.
That's if you're the Dodgers, you're just like, does this suck losing one of the best players, if not the best player in baseball? Yes. Can we manage? Yes. Should we panic? No. I mean, they're not going to lose their division, right? There's no one close to them.
Right.
I mean, at that point, you're playing for a number two seed, but do you think the Brewers are going to creep up and take that from you? So at that point,
you got to watch the Phillies from afar.
Right, but again, if the Phillies get the one and the Dodgers, like at this point, just play.
If you get the two, you're not worried about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, just play for a first round bye at this point. So sucks immensely as a baseball fan. If you're a Dodgers fan, it sucks obviously, but take a deep breath. Gruz Fraba. It's going to be okay.
I think the most fascinating thing, and then Jordan's got something, so I'll let you go. I think the most fascinating thing about this is not necessarily that it's Mookie, because I think you're right, Joe. I think if you're a Dodger fan, I think you stand pat. You're just like, okay, let's weather the storm. We're going to be okay. We've got guys. We've got prospects. The thing I'm the most fascinated about is I think if Mookie doesn't go down, I still think the Dodgers trade for a shortstop. Like, Mookie's move to shortstop out of necessity, not out of strength. And so when you lose the one guy you were able to do that, because if you move Gavin Lux over to shortstop, his hitting is atrocious and he's got the yips. So it's like, I think they were already in the market for a shortstop. Maybe not somebody to the level of Bo Bichette, but somebody to the level who, and let's be real, Bo Bichette's having a bad season. He's having a bad season, and he's going to cost you a ton if you want to go get him. But the fact that Mookie filled a position that you had no answers for, and now that position you had has no answers for, not to mention put on top of that, your probably most efficient hitter, question mark, because Mookie does the dirty work. He runs the bases really well. He hits for average. His on-base percentage is great. He's not Shohei. He's not Freddie because he doesn't go as deep as much as them, but he does the dirty work for them and did it at a position that you needed. I think it's more fascinating what the Dodgers do with shortstop than just hanging Pat for Mookie Betts.
Well, it's funny because it's kind of the looking at the Dodgers, it's like the opposite problem that the San Diego Padres have had, right? They've signed, what, five?
They got four shortstops.
Four or five shortstops total on their roster, and the Dodgers have, like,
zero.
Six outfielders and zero shortstops. They've got way too many guys, and then the call-up of Andy Pages has been just an absolute success. I think he's still under 10 homers, but he's hit 8 or 9 for him. He just, every time I see them, he's actually hitting.
So, and he has good nights, but bad nights, but that's what you expect.
Well, he's a rookie, but his numbers make him already look like a veteran player just immediately coming into the league. You know he's going to be okay, though. So I feel like if Pages, if Rojas can hold down, you know, some of those at-bats, I understand Muncy. I don't know how long he's down, but hopefully if he comes back soon, there really, in my opinion, isn't that much of a gap. And if I am Dodger fan, I'm more pissed at the fact that it was probably somebody that shouldn't have been throwing inside in the first place that hit Mookie Betts. You know, it's like it is what it is. Dan Altavilla, I'm a little biased. I've stood in an elevator with him. He's a D-bag. It was immediate.
I love this.
I love the conspiracy theory that he ruined Mookie Betts on purpose.
No, I'm not saying he ruined him on purpose. I'm saying he had just been called up from AAA and literally does not have the skill after, what, a 2-year recovery from Tommy John surgery to actually throw that hard
I just love the short interaction in an elevator leads me to believe that this guy sucks.
Do you want me? Okay.
And I'm shocked that after a Tommy John, you had 98 mile an hour on the gun.
Not in control, though, that's for sure.
Okay, it was right after Felipe Rivera, who now has been arrested and I believe convicted of allegedly messaging underage girls and trying to set up meetings with them.
Whoa!
Remember Felipe Rivera for the Pirates back in the day, like, what, 5-6 years ago? Big name closer.
I don't pay attention.
He signed like an $80 million contract. Well, it was that day, and Dan Altavilla was at our old work building doing some kind of visit for the Mariners, and he was coming down the elevator, and he's like, "Did you just see Rivera sign that contract?" And it's like, oh, Altavilla thinks he can get some big guy money, and yeah, sorry, buddy, that's not happening.
Yeah, so I just want to see, you know, I mean, is there a, you know, there are so many great defensive shortstops in baseball that don't hit very well. So I wonder if the Dodgers go that route or if they just look within and call up somebody and deal with that. We'll get out of because we're way up against it.
Whoa.
We'll get out real quick and try to be quick with it. Do the Dodgers, is this a big problem with Mookie gone for 6 to 8, or do you think they'll be just fine?
I say this is just, like, it's just scary for the Dodgers because it seems like you can't be 100% healthy. So you're fine for now because it's literally mid-June, but I'm just nervous that they will have
pressure.
Yes, and they'll just have something stupid happen in September, October, where one of their main guys goes down. Because it seems like they just can't have a fully healthy roster, ever.
I'm not as concerned. I think they've just got too many bats. I think they'll be all right.
Yeah, I love 1 through 4. I hate 5 through 9. We'll see how this plays out, and we'll look at it over the next couple weeks. But, you know, the Dodgers, they do have some help coming back tomorrow. And is that the side that needs more help than shortstop right now? And how does that compare? Because the Yankees are in the same position. When you're looking at top teams, I know one is better than the other. But what's going to benefit each team better? We'll do that next. The Hot Corner, 10 in the Fan. Coming up in the second hour, we will get into Fair or Foul, everybody's favorite. Plus, is minor league baseball a must watch now to see what we are going to see in Major League Baseball? There's a big, big thing going on. We'll get to that at the top of the 8 o'clock hour.
I know what you're talking about, and what they said that the league they're going to do this in did catch me off guard. Like, where they're going to have this rule change. I was like, whoa, that's okay.
Yeah, a lot of signs pointing to this is the future. So should we start watching minor league baseball to get us ready for the future of Major League Baseball? We'll do that. Loaded second hour. Loaded. Absolutely loaded. Plus, Mr. Met might be on the unemployment line. We'll get to that as well. But I wanted to get into this. We're talking about the Dodgers, and we'll be real quick about this. We're talking about the Dodgers losing Mookie Betts. Bobby Miller comes off the injured list. He's going to start tomorrow against the Reds or against the Rockies. And he is the young stud, not you know, not the May or the Bueller, but he's another young stud that they've got. He's struggled a little bit in his rehab starts, but he has hit 98 on the gun and has shown real serious prominence for the Dodgers on a pitching staff. To my opinion, as Joe mentioned earlier, with Yamamoto going down, like, they need guys. So my question is, I'll flip this to the American League as well, where maybe the best pitcher in baseball, the reigning Cy Young champ, Gerrit Cole, will be on the mound for the Yankees tomorrow.
Ugh.
My question for you, the Yankees are rolling right now.
Whatever.
My question for you guys, what's a bigger ad right now? Is it Gerrit Cole to the Yankees or is it Bobby Miller to the Dodgers? Cole is better. There's no doubt about that.
Come on.
But are the Dodgers in a position where they need Bobby Miller right now more than the Yanks need Gerrit Cole?
I see the angle you're taking here, but the Yankees don't need Gerrit Cole, but they need Gerrit Cole. Like, are you kidding me? Like, hell yeah, we want Gerrit Cole.
Foot on
Cole
the throat
back.
Kind of stuff.
Yes, yes. And the fact that you are going into a series against the Orioles, which you won the first game today, hurts to say. And then you get him back tomorrow to go against the Orioles, who are, again, you're now, I believe, 3.5-4 games above them in the AL East. It might just be 1.5.
But you are going against my current American League MVP in Gunnar Henderson. My current.
And will be by the end of the season, damn it.
Well, Jose Ramirez is going to have something to say about
it. I just think if you're the Yankees, it's like, we have made it this far in the season with the pitching staff we have now.
You've been this good this long.
Yes, and now we're getting the Cy Young winner back. Yeah, it's over. This is how they're feeling. They got the big swing in D right now.
Do you guys think, Schultz, I'll ask you this question. Do you think Cole's looked awesome in his rehab starts? Are you concerned about that elbow? Or do you, because remember in spring training when they shut him down, everybody, I drafted him in the 16th round of a dynasty fantasy league.
That's ridiculous.
Because everyone thought that guy's getting Tommy John.
He's done.
When his elbow was inflamed and everything looked bad, it was like, that guy's getting Tommy John, and no one would touch him. Are you concerned that we are a month away from Gerrit Cole getting Tommy John?
I mean, I hadn't really thought about it like that way. From that angle, yeah, that there, I guess there's a little concern, but he could be a success story like a Brian Wu for the Mariners that, you know, was on the shelf and didn't have to have surgery, at least to this point. So hopefully he doesn't end up like that. But I do believe if the Yankees are putting him out there in, he's what had, I think, 5 rehab starts now in the minors. Like, he's ready to go. They have no questions about this. He's a very highly paid, if not one of the highest paid starters in the league. So they're making sure that he is ready to go.
If you don't count Shohei, I think he's the highest paid.
Yeah. Like, I know Clayton Kershaw made like 37, but that's an old contract now.
Wow. Scherzer might make 42.
So see, he's up there.
But
the point is, the big investment, I feel like the Yankees would be very, very smart to ensure that he is healthy, 1,000% ready to go before they put him back on the field. Because also with that, as you guys said, they have been pretty successful starting pitching this year. It's almost, I hate saying this, it's almost like a midseason trade addition for them. He means more to the Yankees because of that. I think Bobby Miller's good, but he's more at like a Bryce Miller level good. He's not like a Logan Gilbert, George Kirby type of young kid good. He's good, but he's not like a Cy Young winning pitcher. And for that reason as well, I think Gerrit Cole means way more.
And I think I agree with you that I think the Yankees staff has been pretty good, but I think the Yankees staff has overperformed. And so that might be the reason why Cole is more appropriate. But also, Yamamoto down, Walker Buehler is still trying to figure stuff out. I know he threw tonight. I haven't looked at what he did tonight.
Well, they gave up. I think they're losing right now to the Rockies.
Yeah, like I haven't seen his stat line. I didn't watch it. I don't know how he is.
9-4, yeah.
But the Dodgers, that's why I'm curious if Bobby is more important than Cole, because the Dodgers staff has not been playing out of their minds like the Yankee. Like, when does Luis Gil regress? We have to assume it happens.
Well,
Marcus Stroman has been playing really well. I have to assume that regresses.
Well, Carlos Rodon, too. It's like,
Can I get Carlos Rodon from last year, please, as an Orioles
the
fan?
The law of averages has to even out. That's why I was curious.
Nestor Cortez has been really good this year compared to last year. He's kind of not returned to form from 22, but he's
that's why I'm kind of
much better than last year.
That's why I'm kind of curious if Miller is like secretly a huge weapon for the Dodgers, but we'll see. We'll see. They'll throw tomorrow.
I think that, as I mentioned in the last segment, just because the Dodgers have not had health on their side, it is great to have him back. You're from all, you know, all things considered, it looks like Yoshi is going to come back at some point. Mm-hmm. Kershaw is going to actually make his first rehab start soon.
Okay.
At Single A Rancho Cucamonga, because I wanted to say Cucamonga, rather. So you're getting some arms back within the next few weeks to a month or so. But getting Gerrit Cole, the best pitcher in the American League, back on your team when you're already rolling like you are, that's got to feel tremendous for the Yankees.
All right, we got a loaded second hour coming up. We'll do fair or foul at the bottom. Plus, when we come back, should we pay attention to minor league baseball? Is that the future of us? Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. That's Joe Fisher, Schultzy on the ones and twos. I'm Patrick Harris, 10A The Fan. Coming up in the second hour, we will get into fair or foul, everybody's favorite. Plus, is minor league baseball a must-watch tonight? Must-watch now to see what we are going to see in Major League Baseball? There's a big, big thing going on. We'll get to that at the top of the 8 o'clock hour.
I know what you're talking about, and what they said that the league they're going to do this in did catch me off guard. Like, where they're going to have this rule change. I was like, whoa, that's okay.
Yeah, a lot of signs pointing to this is the future. So should we start watching minor league baseball to get us ready for the future of Major League Baseball? We'll do that. Loaded second hour. Loaded. Absolutely loaded. Plus, Mr. Met might be on the unemployment line. We'll get to that as well. But I wanted to get into this. We're talking about the Dodgers, and we'll be real quick about this. We're talking about the Dodgers losing Mookie Betts. Bobby Miller comes off the injured list. He's going to start tomorrow against the Reds or against the Rockies. And he is the young stud, not the May or the Bueller, but he's another young stud that they've got. He's struggled a little bit in his rehab starts, but he has hit 98 on the gun and has shown real serious prominence for the Dodgers on a pitching staff. To my opinion, as Joe mentioned earlier, with Yamamoto going down, like, they need guys. So my question is, I'll flip this to the American League as well, where maybe the best pitcher in baseball, the reigning Cy Young champ, Gerrit Cole, will be on the mound for the Yankees tomorrow.
Ugh.
My question for you, the Yankees are rolling right now.
Whatever.
My question for you guys, what's a bigger ad right now? Is it Gerrit Cole to the Yankees or is it Bobby Miller to the Dodgers? Cole is better. There's no doubt about that.
Come on.
But are the Dodgers in a position where they need Bobby Miller right now more than the Yanks need Gerrit Cole?
I see the angle you're taking here, but the Yankees don't need Gerrit Cole, but they need Gerrit Cole. Like, are you kidding me? Like, hell yeah, we want Gerrit
Foot
Cole
on the
back.
Throat kind of stuff.
Yes. And the fact that you are going into a series against the Orioles, which you won the first game today, hurts to say. And then you get him back tomorrow to go against the Orioles, who are, again, you're now, I believe, 3.5-4 games above them in the AL East. It might just be 1.5.
But you are going against my current American League MVP in Gunnar Henderson. My current.
And will be by the end of the season, damn it.
Jose Ramirez is going to have something to say about it.
I just think if you're the Yankees, it's like, we have made it this far in the season with the pitching staff we have now.
You've been this good this long.
Yes, and now we're getting the Cy Young winner back. Yeah, it's over. Is how they're feeling. They got the big swing in D right now.
Do you guys think, Schultzy, I'll ask you this question. Do you think Cole's looked awesome in his rehab starts? Are you concerned about that elbow? Or do you, because remember in spring training when they shut him down, everybody, I drafted him in the 16th round of a dynasty fantasy league.
That's ridiculous.
Because everyone thought that guy's getting Tommy John.
He's done.
when his elbow was inflamed and everything looked bad, it was like, that guy's getting Tommy John, and no one would touch him. Are you concerned that we are a month away from Gerrit Cole getting Tommy John?
I mean, I hadn't really thought about it like that way. From that angle, yeah, that there, I guess there's a little concern, but he could be a success story like a Brian Wu for the Mariners that, you know, was on the shelf and didn't have to have surgery, at least to this point. So hopefully he doesn't end up like that. But I do believe if the Yankees are putting him out there in, I mean, he's what had, I think, 5 rehab starts now in the minors. Like, he's ready to go. They have no questions about this. He's a very highly paid, if not one of the highest paid starters in the league. So they're making sure that he is ready to go.
If you don't count Shohei, I think he's the highest paid.
Yeah. Like, I know Clayton Kershaw made like 37, but that's an old contract now.
Wow. Scherzer might make 42.
So see, he's up there.
But
the point is, the big investment, I feel like the Yankees would be very, very smart to ensure that he is healthy, 1,000% ready to go before they put him back on the field, because also with that, as you guys said, they have been pretty successful starting pitching this year. It's almost, I hate saying this, it's almost like a midseason trade addition for them. He means more to the Yankees because of that. I think Bobby Miller's good, but he's more at like a Bryce Miller level good. He's not like a Logan Gilbert, George Kirby type of young kid good. He's good, but he's not like a Cy Young winning pitcher. And for that reason as well, I think Gerrit Cole means way more.
And I think I agree with you that I think the Yankees staff has been pretty good, but I think the Yankees staff has overperformed. And so that might be the reason why Cole is more appropriate. But also, Yamamoto down, Walker Buehler is still trying to figure stuff out. I know he threw tonight. I haven't looked at what he did tonight.
Well, they gave up. I think they're losing right now to the Rockies.
Yeah, like I haven't seen his stat line. I didn't watch it. I don't know how he is.
9-4, yeah.
But the Dodgers, that's why I'm curious if Bobby is more important to than Cole, because the Dodgers staff has not been playing out of their minds like the Yankee. Like, when does Luis Gil regress? We have to assume it happens.
Well,
Marcus Stroman has been playing really well. I have to assume that regresses.
Well, Carlos Rodon too. It's like, can I get Carlos Rodon from last year, please, as an Orioles
fan?
The
law of averages has to even out. That's why I was curious.
Nestor Cortez has been really good this year compared to last year. He's kind of not returned to form from 22, but he's better than last year.
That's why I'm kind of curious if Miller is like secretly a huge weapon for the Dodgers, but we'll see. We'll see. They'll throw tomorrow.
I think that, as I mentioned in the last segment, just because the Dodgers have not had health on their side, it is great to have him back. All things considered, it looks like Yoshi is going to come back at some point. Mm-hmm. Kershaw is going to actually make his first rehab start soon.
Okay.
At Single A Rancho Cucamonga, because I wanted to say Cucamonga, rather. So you're getting some arms back within the next few weeks to a month or so. But getting Gerrit Cole, the best pitcher in the American League, back on your team when you're already rolling like you are, that's got to feel tremendous for the Yankees.
All right, we got a loaded second hour coming up. We'll do fair or foul at the bottom. Plus, when we come back, should we pay attention to minor league baseball? Is that the future of us? Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. That's Joe Fisher, Schultzy on the ones and twos. I'm Patrick Harris, 1080 The Fan.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.